In today's gospel, our blessed Savior says, "These things have I spoken to you, that you may not be scandalized." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It's unthinkable, isn't it? Well, maybe it's just that you haven't really thought things through. You've been meaning to, but you're busy. Thinking about the unthinkable, you should do that. Let's think about that for a moment today, because first reason in the gospel, there are those who are thinking of putting you to death. In some sense, metaphorically, maybe your business or your good name or your family, or the plain old-fashioned way with the .22 and the scope. They want to put you to death, and why? They think, our Lord says, that that is how they will offer a service, literally a sacrifice to their God. It could be Allah, or it could be the all-powerful state, or it could be the God of conventionality and political correctness. Even if they don't kill you, at least they would be seriously thinking about putting you out of the synagogue. Most of us, though, aren't there anymore. It was unthinkable for the Jews, that's how today's gospel starts, to be excommunicated from the synagogue. That long Lenten gospel of the man born blind, why, his parents didn't even want to discuss the matter with the Jewish authorities for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. And the New York Times reported about 10 days ago that certain Hasidic Jewish parents in New York City are terrified into keeping silence when the most terrible crimes are perpetrated against their own children. Why? For fear that the rabbi will put them out of the synagogue. Now, you could perhaps remember a time when it would have been unthinkable for a Catholic pope to go to a synagogue to pray with Jews rather than to preach to them the name of Jesus Christ, or, for that matter, to kiss the Koran, which is full of blasphemies against our blessed Lord. And isn't that, if you think of it, what has kept people almost 50 years now, even though they don't like it, just going back to the parish church for the new religion? It's unthinkable for them not to join the rest of the frogs slowly being boiled. Not to go along with the program would be unthinkable. Unthinkable, too, perhaps, how the Catholic Church looks today, not what it seems, and then with all of the splits right down its seams and the schisms. The other night, I dragged a big, heavy book with me. I like to read before I go to sleep, and it was a memorial book for the 1938 Eucharistic Congress in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was reading the chapter on New Orleans church history. Did you know that at the beginning of the 19th century, all the major cities in America, New York, Philadelphia, New Orleans, had the church split over the question of lay boards or lay trusteeism. And in New Orleans, of all things, the lay board that claimed to control the cathedral legally was French, of course, and they were mostly Freemasons. And they insisted that the bishop should bury members of the lodge who would come to their funerals attired in full Masonic regalia. And then they wanted to put up, and they did, a memorial in honor of Freemasonry in the Catholic cemetery of the archdiocese. Well, there was a great conflict for years and a scandal. All of the Catholic papers were against the bishop. He had to go to the chapel of the Ursuline sisters, where Our Lady of Good Succor is, to be able to celebrate Mass even for a while. Church history, the past. But what about the present? It is unthinkable that the president, and we've had some bad ones, but this man's a doozy, that the president should begin a persecution of what passes for the Catholic Church in the matter of health insurance, and that he should now of late publicly have promoted the immorality of this false or unnatural idea of marriage. And the liberals will probably find a way to make us pay for that, too. Who'd have thunk it? It is unthinkable. The danger here is for you to be scandalized, and thus to fall away or go along to get along. Thus, the words of the Savior in today's gospel. Usually, we explain scandal from the Greek as meaning a little stone that makes you trip and fall. Monsignor Knox says that in today's gospel, it's more of the idea of the spring of a trap that hits you when you're not expecting it. Let me read to you his paraphrase of today's gospel. It's good to keep it fresh. When the truth-giving Spirit, who proceeds from the Father, has come to befriend you, he whom I will send to you from the Father's side, he will bear witness of what I am, and you too are to be my witnesses, you who from the first have been in my company. I have told you this so that your faith may not be taken unawares. They will forbid you the synagogue. Nay, the time is coming when anyone who puts you to death will claim that he is performing an act of worship to God. Such things they will do to you because they have no knowledge of the Father or of me. And I have told you this so that when the time comes for it to happen, you may remember that I told you of it. I have told you this, is the sense of it, so that your faith may not be taken unawares. Here, to be scandalized in this gospel means that you never thought it would come to this, and now what are you going to do? You never thought. Exactly. Unthinkable. Or is it? Well, not if you know the gospel, not if you know the catechism, not if you know the lives of the saints, and even a little church history you may have read at night before going to sleep. Not if you know what our Savior expects of you. It's all right here in the scriptures, a convenient little pericope for this morning's gospel. You've been warned. So you can't be taken unawares anymore. To be a Christian means being in the minority. It means being persecuted. Why do they do it? Why? Well, think it through. Don't be scandalized. Think about it. St. Paul explains that this happens because of zeal without knowledge. That's one of the seven gifts we're praying for this morning, aren't we? The Holy Ghost gift of knowledge, which does what? Remember when you studied it in preparation for your confirmation? Which warns you against the deceits of creatures and of this world, whether it be plots and plans or somebody's private agenda or just that cowardly conformity, the worship of the age. whatever. Such things they will do to you because they have no knowledge of the Father or of me. Well, what do you have to do? You have to bear witness. That's your job. The word in the Greek, in the Gospel, comes across as martyr, is the word martyr. Think about that. If you follow Christ, he will demand more, much more of your life than the odd Sunday hour or two for Mass. You made it today. Well, good for you. But there may be more tomorrow, witness of Jesus Christ. To be a martyr, to be a witness, it means to live in such a way, think about this, to live in such a way that one's life would not make sense if God did not exist. It does not mean, and here is some good news for us Catholics who would feel a little funny about doing it anyway, it does not mean that you are meant to go Mormon-like from door to door, or like the Jehovah's Witnesses who hit a neighborhood. This is not the kind of witnessing Christ has in mind, nor is it engaging in clever propaganda, not even in stirring people up under the plea of making them think, shocking them. No, it means simply this: to stand up for the faith and not back down. How does that happen? Well, you know why you believe, and you know what you believe. And thus, you witness to the truth. I swear, I solemnly swear, however witless your unsympathetic audience might be to what you have to say. This, for example, this marriage business, it really is a question not of the way things have been done in Western culture, as they say untruthfully, for a long, long time. It's a question of God's unchanging or natural law. That's part of who we are. But you see, how did we get to that point? There were an awful lot of Christians who stopped being witnesses. And that started in the 1920s or so. Once you go cheating about birth control, the purpose of marriage, divorce and remarriage, or Catholic divorce, which is annulments, there's not much left anymore of a stable union, the definition of marriage, the contract of a man and a woman until death do them part for the purpose of the procreation and education of children, and secondly, mutual aid and support. You could point it out sometime if it comes to that in a discussion, but far more powerful is that you should bear witness by the way in which you live. So no wonder, if no one is living or bearing witness that way anymore, that the church has lost power, almost all power, in public life. And liberalism, hedonism, you know, the idea that I have a right to do exactly what I want to do when I want to do it. Get used to it. Hedonism. And then lurking behind the scenes, the all-powerful state has stepped in. And make no mistake, they will enforce it. Think about it. Do a lot of thinking, would you? Studying, too, and praying. To think about holy things is called meditation. Meditate on your wedding vows. Meditate on the Gospels, the Catechism. Take your faith seriously. Meditation is an excellent way to save souls. It's just thinking, that's all it is, reflecting on holy things, on truths. the soul you save may be your own. Don't be caught unawares. Don't be scandalized. Do remember this. You may never convert anybody. The next time you find yourself the only real Catholic in a room full of controversial topics. But God doesn't expect you to. He does that. He alone, by His grace. You must witness to the truth. The old saying, God has not called us to be successful. Thank God for that. God has called us to be faithful. Pray God for that and think about it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.